Vaporwave News Network, episode 16.
Hello, and welcome to the Vaporwave News Network, a podcast about the contemporary vaporwave scene. We feature news, discussion, and current trends, as well as reporting on releases and events in the vaporwave, future funk, and adjacent communities. I'm your host, Alex, aka Trucks Passing Trucks. I run Pacific Plaza Records in addition to DJing and booking events over my past 7 years of being involved in the vaporwave community. Welcome to Vaporwave News Network. It's episode 16, covering April and early May 2024, over 12 years since the start of this music genre and art movement. It's the one-year anniversary of the podcast, so let me remind you that you can check out our new website, vaporwavenewsnetwork.com, where we have articles, reviews, and all our graphics from each episode of the show. If you click on support the show or subscribe, you can get added to our email newsletter or become a paid member to get exclusive content and financially support the show. You can also follow the podcast on social media at VW News Network. We're currently on Instagram and Twitter, plus we have a TikTok and Blue Sky account, so please follow us and comment on our posts to help drive that engagement. If you join us on Blue Sky, there are two great custom feeds created by Ognos that feature artists, musicians, and people involved in the vaporwave scene. The feed also catches all posts mentioning vaporwave in the last 7 days. There's been a lot more activity over on Blue Sky, and you don't need an invite anymore, so come join. We also have two curated playlists on Spotify that you can check out. Contemporary Vaporwave, which is our main playlist capturing all things in the genre, and then Fresh Future Funk, which is loaded with current tracks from the past 6 months and some classics or deep cuts from the past. I added new selections to both playlists in May. Quick reminder to subscribe to the podcast or follow us on your platform of choice. If you're checking this out on YouTube, remember to leave a comment, like, and subscribe. If you can leave a rating on your streaming platform of choice, please do that as well. If you're listening on Spotify Mobile, scroll down to the description and interact with our polls and Q&A. If you want to support the show, you can head over to our website, vaporwavenewsnetwork.com, and become a member or associate producer. Big thanks to our highest tier supporters, Mackie and Joe B. If you'd also like to support the Vaporwave News Network, you can join them in the associate producer tier for $10 a month. And if you only want to donate $5 a month, you'll still get access to exclusive content like the bonus Vaporwave History article I put out in March and research interviews like we had in February. And even if you can't financially support the show, you can still sign up for the free tier and get our email notification every time a new episode or feature article comes out. With all that out of the way, what's been going on with me? Well, it's been just about a month, but I thought I'd have this episode done a little faster. I mean, turns out the weather got really nice here in Southern California. My social calendar went wild in May, including a housewarming party at my new place that I mentioned in the last episode. I was hoping to turn the April episode around quick, but since that didn't happen, I kind of decided to shake it up a bit this month. I'm not going to do a main topic, but I'm going to cover all of April as well as early May. So it's been a year since I started the podcast, and it's funny looking back at the first batch of episodes. They were like every other week and felt, you know, like a bit more up to date as opposed to a look back at what's happened, which is what I kind of do now. And I do sort of miss that. While I may not be back on a twice a month schedule, I am going to incorporate early May into this one so I can try and get back on schedule during my week of summer vacation after Memorial Day. I'm going to skip the main topic of this episode and get working on the next one right quick here. I'm also contemplating adding some contributors to the website and possibly hosting some streams or events during our second year of podcasting. I have some ideas. I want to do more. I got to motivate myself a little bit better, but I'm really excited to get going on year two for the Vaporwave News Network. Here's to hoping it's a good one. So what am I going to recommend this week? Well, this week I have a video that is from a fairly prominent YouTube channel, but the video doesn't have that many views compared to most of their content. The channel Bandsplaining released a video called Nostalgia Overload, the Genres of the 2010s, and you know it includes Vaporwave. The video covers a number of new genres created and popularized in the 2010s, providing a great insight into the creation, spread, and cultural impact of each genre. I won't spoil more of the video or give away his choices for the new genres that define or had a cultural impact in the 2010s. Stick around to the end of the video where he does a special deep dive into future funk and the globalized love affair with city pop. There'll be a link to it in the description. Wrapping up here, I was part of Vapor Aid back in April, and it was an awesome stream that raised a couple $1,000s, plus it had a banger lineup. More on that later in the show. Hopefully the next Sweat.biz will be announced soon, but otherwise I don't have any gigs coming up. So if you're looking for someone to play your stream or a live event anywhere in the country, hit me up. Like I said, if you're doing a streaming event and you need a DJ set, or I mean even someone to do visuals, please get in touch. I'm available to do those IRL gigs in other states because my job is flexible. You can get in contact with me through my DJ Instagram at TruxPassingTrucks or through the Pacific Plaza social media handles. Now, on to the show. So what's happened in the vaporwave scene the past month and a half? Well, we had shows in Denver, Phoenix, New York City, Toronto, Baltimore, Los Angeles, Portland, St. Louis, and more. There's a couple festivals and a bunch of shows being announced for the summer. Remember, you can keep up with the calendar of upcoming shows and streams over at our friend's website, arcology.online/events. And you'll hear about them coming up in our next segment of the show. What's been going on in the URL space lately? Well, I mentioned it earlier. The big one in April was Vaporade, curated and hosted by Quiz on the Hot Takes Twitch channel. The stream raised over $4,500 for the Palestinian Children's Relief Fund and had over 200 viewers at its peak. It was awesome having Quiz live on camera between acts, and the chat was bumping all day long. I think that also might have been the most amount of money raised by a single one-day Vaporwave streaming event that we've ever seen, which was awesome. Thanks so much to Quiz and Hot Takes for hosting it. Virtual Synth TV broadcast their postponed show on April 6th, as I mentioned in the last episode. Luxury Aesthetics Virtual Gallery with DJ Non had two new episodes in April and two more in May. The most recent one was called Infinite Atrium that had a chill-out vibe with, quote, smooth sailing down marble halls. Hot Takes is still on hiatus, but they released a comp and lent out their channel for the Vaporade Fest I mentioned earlier. Luxury Elite's Neon Nights had two episodes in April, and the last episode was broadcast on May 7th and May 21st. You can check it all out on her YouTube channel. Sights, Sounds, and Conversations with Codex Encyclopedia was back on April 30th with a 3-hour episode on YouTube. It features 4 performances, music videos, animations, interviews, and other video art with people from the Vaporwave scene and other underground art communities. Big Baby Prophet is still streaming all vinyl DJ sets, which you can catch on YouTube every night. He also posted his live set from the IRL gig he played in Denver back in January. The Big Stream is back doing their 360 VR show on YouTube Thursday, May 16th, and then again the next week. I didn't catch it, but I'm sure they dropped some new merch and are probably hyping up the new albums from FM Skyline and DDS. On the podcast front, Future Sounds UK had a new episode in early May with Whitewoods. He was interviewed by Tom and Enzo, plus the boys dropped some news about the Nobody Here documentary. Utopia District's podcast dropped a new episode on May 3rd called Link Rot, Lost Documentaries, and the Preservation of Your Favorite Media, and they discuss many lost cultural artifacts, as well as the disappearance of discographies we mentioned in our previous episode, like Asutenki, Skeleton, Computer Dreams. Night Clerk Radio did some episodes about specific labels in April, and then pivoted back to some haunted music reviews, plus a May episode about the Hot Takes Volume 1 compilation that I was on. In other news, someone has registered a trademark with the USPTO for the term Vaporave. Although, I'm not sure if that only applies to the way they spell it, with rave in all caps. So, consider this a warning to everyone in the US who uses that cheesy, boring name. Someone might legally go after you. The situation kind of reminds me of what happened when a specific group of money-hungry promoters claimed the Emo Night trademark. After getting it started, they were harassing other people who used the name, and then they used the brand to launch a chicken sandwich restaurant? Anyway, I've heard similar stories about people who trademark certain IP-themed raves. Only time will tell if that's going to happen here in the Vaporsphere. On the bright side of things, there was a really great interview with early Vaporwave artist Robin Burnett, aka Internet Club, Datavis, Wake Sleep, and many more aliases. I was really impressed with the interview. It really went into depth on making the albums, talking about specific tracks, and also picked the artist's brain about visual representations of the music, which I found fascinating. The author had a really firm grasp on the early history of the scene, as well as insightful questions that build like a conversation. Kind of a step up from the high school questionnaire or fantasy fanfic journalism we usually see around the scene. You can follow the author on Instagram at nix_creative_outlet. And find a link to the interview in the description and on our website. Vapor Memory is back, uploading a whole spate of releases, many of them new and recent. He was on hiatus to focus on other parts of his personal life, according to a message to his YouTube community, but is actively uploading again and has announced a new iteration of the yearly Slushwave Festival. More info on that later in the show as well. Pad Chennington put out some more videos and seems to be back on the YouTube game more regularly. He did a Top Barber Beats album video, which was really just his personal recommendations beyond the stuff he's already featured, a video about music affected by 9/11, and a video about infinity frequencies earlier in April. On the subreddit, a user named MSacrifice has been cataloging the samples of various popular Barber Beats albums, with some light analysis of the works as well. It's an interesting peek behind the curtains of some of the subgenre's most popular releases. Listen Corp released a new issue of their zine, issue number 5, which features interviews with the lead writer, developer, and composer of Wipeout, and it talks about the franchise's evolution. Plus, there's music picks from Christ and more articles. You can pick it up on Etsy or read more reviews on their website. Maxhead Reviews, a volunteer with Utopia District, was back with a YouTube video discussing Vaporwave versus Fruitager Arrow from the perspective of a millennial. It generated a lot of discussion in the comments, including a few paragraphs from myself. And finally, it's The Band Can't Beat. We're bringing up the latest updates related to the platform and the situation surrounding SongTrader's acquisition of Bandcamp. I'm going to try not to complain about the Discover feature again. Bandcamp claims it's a success, but I've heard no tangible results from anyone on the artist or label side of things. The new arrivals section is still a mess, and I still wish it existed on mobile. C'est la vie. I will remind you that Bandcamp Daily actually dropped a pretty significant article in February when it comes to Vaporwave. An article titled The Return of Vaporwave Pioneer Mediafired featured and interviewed the Portuguese producer, where he revealed some aliases, his thoughts on the early scene, and highlighted some tracks from his various catalogs. Bandcamp Friday has continued in May, but it will not be monthly going forward. The dates for the remaining Bandcamp Fridays were announced, and they will be in September, October, and December, according to a post on Bandcamp Daily. Otherwise, things have been quiet from the Bandcamp Union and SongTrader themselves on both their websites and social media. Upcoming shows and events. We got some festivals and quite a few summer announcements. In the URL space, as I mentioned before, there's labels like Business Casual announcing listening parties on Bandcamp. A lot more people are doing listening parties for their releases, so check out the official Bandcamp homepage or go check out the Bandcamp pages of other labels around the scene to see if there's any names you recognize. You can check it out at bandcamp.com/live. On May 17th, Void TV presented a new episode of the audiovisual collaboration series they've been doing on the Ryan Celsius Sounds YouTube channel. This episode was dedicated to Barber Beats and features music videos from many well-known and underrated artists in the scene. Long live and God bless the underground. May 21st, there was an online talk hosted by the New Zealand National Library called The Music of Crystal Magic Records, which was an early 2010s indie label from the island that dabbled in underground music, including Vaporwave. The label's music is being archived by the National Library in New Zealand, and their catalog includes releases from Eyeliner and Real Player 7, who were mentioned in the early polemic Vaporwave treatises by Adam Harper. Their website had it starting on the 21st, but for all of us in this hemisphere, it was actually on Monday, May 20th. You can go check it out on their Facebook, or if you're a supporting member of the show, I've also created a way for you to watch it that's not on Facebook. Luxury Elite's radio show Neon Nights returned on May 21st for episode 132 over on YouTube, and she's also hosting a watching party for the VHS version of her new album, Talk Soup, at the end of May over on YouTube. It seems that I was mistaken last episode. Vapor Shave, presented by Daydream Deluxe and Utopia District, is now rescheduled for June 15th. This year is a benefit for ALS, and it features a whopper of a lineup with too many names to list here. It'll be broadcast across both hosts' respective Twitch channels with two virtual stages going all day. Also that weekend, we have Sky Live, hosted by Skyline Tapes on Twitch with a three-day URL fest that goes from Friday the 14th till Sunday the 16th. SignalCon for 2024 has been announced, and it will take place over 3 days, July 12th through July 14th. They got some big names headlining the stream this year, including Cat System Corp and Infinity Frequencies. And finally, Slushwave 2024 has been announced for August 29th and 30th, streaming online via Vapor Memory. And it was teased that there will be a live event in Belgium on August 31st, based on a Twitter post by Desert Sands Feels Warm at Night. On to the IRL gigs. For May, so far we've had gigs in Baltimore with Aesthetic Fridays on May 3rd, Phoenix on May 8th at the All Ages DIY spot Trunk Space, put on by the Desert Dreams Collective and headlined by Frank Javsi. Nostalgia Lounge was back in Columbus on May 10th. Crystal Nostalgia had a gig in LA on the 18th with a lineup featuring familiar faces from their first edition. And Funk Forever was in New York City on the 18th with Pad Chennington, Discoholic, Vape Air, and Fiverr. Paperspace STL had a show at Pop's Blue Moon in St. Louis on the 24th with Young Shiro coming in from out of town. And on the 24th, there was also a party in New York City hosted by Nostalgia Salon at the Bowery Beer Garden. Yotoki has had some future funk parties, plus they announced a new North American tour. They're going to be doing their shows in Chicago on May 18th, San Francisco May 31st with special guest Groovy Kaiju, and July 5th in LA for Anime Expo. The tour will be co-headlined by Macross, Englewood, and Vantage with dates across North America starting June 12th in Arizona, circling North America until they arrive back on the West Coast in late July. In June, we got some festivals and a handful of shows. In Richmond, Virginia on June 1st, there'll be a fest at Ember Music Hall called I2K, curated by Vapor VA. It features headliners FM Skyline, Whitewoods, and Vape Air, plus Makeup and Vanity Set, Trap Cry, Frank JFC, Fake Fever, Heaven Sample, That's Matt, Be Careful, Young Shiro, and visuals from Jumper Kimmons and Videodrome TV. $30 presale tickets are still available. Another fest was announced this summer, and it's on the weekend of June 28th. Gulf Wave is an internet music festival and skate expo that will be in Bonita Springs, Florida. It's brought to you by Bosby and features 3 nights exploring the genre cosmos with a number of vaporwave performers and regional artists. More info can be found on Eventbrite. There'll be a big future funk gig at the Wiltern in Los Angeles on June 8th with the folks from the Yoitoki Tour, plus Moe Shop, Ken Harada, who organized the event, Pinky, and DJ Hello Kitty. It's a bit of a rehash of the Young Bay Groove Continental LA dates, with a really steep ticket price to match, but if you dig these artists, it's a big, beautiful venue in Mid-City, and it's an all-ages show. June 7th, the guys from Bass House HTML will be back doing their Aesthetic Friday show in Baltimore with a smash tourney plus lots of visualists. June 15th, Crystal Nostalgia will be back in Los Angeles at High Tide in downtown LA for a Y2K, Future Funk, and Anime Groove dance party with special guests Mittens and Data Girl, plus Night Patrol and Marcus from Tune in Tokyo. Tune in Tokyo does lots of city pop events around Los Angeles. And finally, there are events in July that have been announced, including July 13th in Portland at the Twilight Cafe and Bar, hosted by Nostalgia Kid, with headliners Hotel Pools and Frank JFC. If you have any other upcoming events you want featured, please submit over at vaporwavenewsnetwork.com/submissions. In addition to my event submission form, we've partnered with The Arcology on a consolidated listing. You can get to their calendar by clicking on the events tab on our website. If you send something through my submission form, make sure you submit over on their website as well. That's arcology.online/events. Upcoming and current releases. In the spirit of trying out new review formats, I'm going to do 2 track reviews today. On April 3rd, Entrana and CyberSurfer 3D released a new collaborative one-off track called Heavenscape. The song opens with a mysterious crystalline synth line. The glassy falling notes give way to a bit of whimsy as the sonic horizon expands. It draws you into a polygonal world reminiscent of 90s adventure games as the beginning overture settles into a swaying, mellow, vapor trap beat. As the beat rolls on, the synths become rounder with syncopated steel drums and the ambient sounds of birds and waves. We've arrived in an island paradise. This tropical vapor trap carries the rest of the song, and rhythmic synth stabs invigorate and jazzify the breakdown before finally melting into a slowed down section to close the track. When I asked CyberSurfer 3D about it, they said that the collaboration was initiated by Entrana, who laid out the foundation of the track, and it's a sample-free production by the two of them. It's a great song, so go check out Heavenscape on their Bandcamps. Our next review is for a track off an upcoming album by Dan Mason. On May 1st, Dan Mason released the first single off his upcoming album, Fluorescence. The track, As You Start to Wane, is a return to his Vaporwave 2 and 5th Wave emo fusion that was heard on previous albums like Hypnagogia, Forever Nothing, and I'll Be Alright. In the world of post-Vaporwave sounds being explored by artists who want to combine their songwriting ability with the production, recontextualization, and signifiers of Vaporwave, Dan heads towards the more anthemic and post-rock side of emo for this new song. The loud, soft dynamic seen in bands like Mineral and the 2000s post-rock scene, headlined by artists like Sigur Rós and Explosions in the Sky, is clearly influential on the song and its structure. It's an epic journey of build-ups and breakdowns that opens with a bombastic chorus, but settles into a quietly spoke-sung verse all over ephemeral pads of synthesizers and chiming church bell melodies. The cadence of Dan's voice when he says phrases like, "You'll never come back from this," evoke the melancholic emo of the early 2000s. The vocals feel like enveloping vapor-waved or slowed and reverb baritone voices that allow the emotion to be wrung out of each word. The song draws you in with quiet vocals, like many old emo records, forcing the listener to focus and immerse themselves in this immense track. It has a cinematic melancholy that shows Dan at his peak as a songwriter and a creative who can fuse his influences and different musical backgrounds into something emotive and unique. You can listen to As You Start to Wane on his Bandcamp, Spotify, or your preferred streaming platform of choice. Dan's new album Fluorescence comes out on June 14th, 2024. Okay, this section is going to be a long one. I'm going to be getting into both April and early May releases, and we have some great stuff here. Luxury Elite dropped a new album, Talk Soup, on April 29th. It's another year and another awesome surprise release from Lux, keeping the spirit of early vaporwave alive. Internet Club put out two compilations under the name Dadavis of what they describe as, quote, complete fucking nonsense from the Unison, Detune, Dadavis, Dadavision, LTD days, recorded through 2010 into early 2011, released in 2011 on the Dadavis Bandcamp and deleted not long after. It's on their Bandcamp and in their public mega folder where you can download their entire discography. FM Skyline's new album Images is out now. It came out April 19th and there's even cute mugs with the album art designs. You can check out the music on his Bandcamp or Spotify and merch is on the 100% Electronica website. He's also headlining the I2K Festival in his hometown, Richmond, Virginia, on June 1st. Windows 96 keeps dropping more albums each month. This time around, he released Yes, Da 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 on May 11th. Limousine released his new album, Wrestling Wave 2, on April 5th. The cassettes are sold out, but you can go listen to it on his Bandcamp. Belgian producer Vanitas put out a new full-length album on May 3rd that was an ode to the Japanese show TV's TV that has a signal wave kind of vibe. Longtime vaporwave stalwart Otto released a new album called Neuro, which was also released on Business Casual. All proceeds from the album go to benefit ALS research. Christ released a two-song single in April and finally released his new album, WWW, in May. Bandcamp Review described it as, quote, "It's as if the sample choices of New Wounds and the production of Deep Dark Trench / AD had a child," unquote. Dan Mason announced a new album on June 14th and dropped the first single, which I mentioned earlier. And Strawberry Station released a soundtrack for a game he made back in 2016 called Alpha. He reimagined the MIDI soundtrack into full-fledged songs, which he put out on April 5th, Bandcamp Friday. Strawberry's label Berry Good Records also put out the debut album from The Yukio, which has 25 tracks on it, tons of collaborations. Continuing with more future funk, Neon City Records put out a compilation called Neon City Delights Volume 7, commemorating their 7-year anniversary. They've also been reissuing some old releases on vinyl that future funk fans will surely recognize. Arkansas producer Uniwa has a new album called You've Come So Far that will be released on Doom Trip Records May 24th. A handful of tracks, which come from previous releases, are on his Bandcamp along with a CD pre-order. Hot Singles has a new album called Sugar that came out on April 26th, courtesy of Coruspect Records. Longtime producer Sari released a new album on their Bandcamp that translates to Just a Little. Korout and Jingoro released a collab called Party Time, which we added to our fresh Future Funk playlist this month. Chance De La Soul released a new album on their Bandcamp called Keep Dreaming on April 5th. Funky Senpai released a new Future Funk album called Romantic Groove that was released on physical by Doki Doki Beats in early May. Japanese producer Bedroom Theft put out a new album called Flex Channel that has features from lots of other current producers as well. Mexican producer Prue has an upcoming new album called Funk's Not Dead on the way, and the first single, Neon, is out now. On the Barber Beats front, Slower Pace has released a new album called Inner Flame that's sponsored by a Paris branding agency called Like Fire. I guess they sell and curate culture and art for luxury brand partnerships. Macroblank released a split album with Godspeed on April 19th called Imperial. It's the first time Macroblank has been back on Bandcamp since his Patreon debuted. Oblique Occasions had two releases. In April, he put out the album Neuroleptic, and in May, he released the EP Leviathan Part 2. Savant Shadow put out a new album on April 4th called Shall Not Fade on their Bandcamp, an album called Alluvion in May. Mabisio released a new album called Happy Birthday on April 3rd. Barber Beats producer Gore released a new album on April 26th called Slave to Your Love and had a couple reissues in April as well. Godspeed's 26th release came out on May 1st. Its title translates to A Feudal Struggle. Guild Merchant is back with a remastered album, physical releases, and three new albums so far in May. Sylph Skyline is back and dropped two new albums in April. For splits the past month, we had Macroblank and Godspeed, like I mentioned earlier. Mabisio Magdalene released Nocturnal Creatures on May 2nd. Undersaken and Lost Colossus had an album called Eastern Wisdom. And Undersaken and Insomniac released a split called Gas Masks and Garter Belts on May 5th. Undersaken only put out 4 or 5 releases in April, but is back on their prolific tear, dropping a ton of new music in May thus far. Dirty River also put out a couple of releases, 2 in April and 2 more so far in May. Micromecha burst onto the Barber Beats scene at the end of March, releasing 5 albums in April and 1 so far in May. Canadian Barber Beats producer Known Artiste put out 2 albums in April and has already released 2 more in May as well. Connecticut Barber Beats producer Time Fragment released an album that translates to Heal My Soul in April and already has a new album called Moving Shadow that was released on May 3rd. Darkness put out an album and a collection of rare and unreleased tracks in April, plus an EP that translates to Don't Look at the Broken Mirror back on May 5th. Majestic 12 released a new album called Lies and Silence on April 11th. Snowpoint Lounge is back and they released a new album called Frontier Wonderland on their Bandcamp April 22nd. Seattle producer Middle MGMT put out a new album called Lost at Sea on April 10th. Immodest by Default is back with a new album called Opium Road, which dropped on April 5th. Pizza Hotline will be releasing a new album in June called Polygon Island with 8 new tracks of VGM drum and bass. Vesna TM put out a new album of Vaporwave Zero style tunes called Start, which was also uploaded by our friends at the XKnot YouTube channel. Dusk with a Q released a new album called Gaia/Ray, which was apparently constructed on livestream with the help of their newfound growing fan base, thanks to the YouTube algorithm, and a great debut album that we mentioned back in February, which was called Heaven/EXE. Donorlens released a new single called Dreamlink on May 10th, the first new music since their album Rose Room, which came out back in March. Music website artist DVI put out a new EP called Reconnect on May 17th that also saw a release on Minidisc. Lush Crayon put out their first album in a few years called Sushi and Other Interesting Human Behaviors. Hantasy put out a new album called Our Lovelessness on April 1st with a lo-fi churchwave vibe. Slushwave artist Illusionary Dreaming put out a new single called One Night on April 4th. Putter Pulley released a new Signal Wave album that translates to In a Secluded Cabin on April 5th. Cosmic Cycler released an album called City of Broken Dreams on April 5th, and later in the month he uploaded an album of AI-generated Weather Channel Muzak samples called Future Weather Channel. Hotel Shampoo put out a new lo-fi album called Talk to Me in April, and an album called Escort in May. Kenmore Classic put out 4 Malsoft albums in April, as well as a lo-fi Barber Beats album. Mom and Dad's Computer put out a new album called Crystal Deck TM Holo Sim Terminal on May 5th. Channel 71 put out a new Broken Transmission album called Refraction on April 2nd. Lynx Linux put out a new album in May on the Renault Cassette Corp called Apex Road 84, and there's a solo video edits visual album of it on YouTube. Crystal Japan put out a new album on April 4th called Beach Off with some Sega Game Box inspired artwork. Sport 3000 has a new album called Cryptocracy that came out on the Expanding Earth label May 2nd. US Golf released a new album that was teased with some singles on his Bandcamp and Spotify. The album's called American Mythos, which has pretty different sample sources than his previous VGM and Breaks-influenced releases. Renja is back with another album. This one is called Memoria and was released on May 1st with a 19-song tracklist. Horizon Wireless put out a new album called Faux Haven on April 3rd with some ambient, slushy barber beats. Nyoka Shoji played a live set of Nature Wave back in February, and they finally released it on their Bandcamp for download back on May 3rd. Lost Traveler from Peru put out a new album on his Bandcamp on April 24th called No Continuity in Order, collection of demos and lost tracks from before he started his hiatus. Philadelphia producer Bathroom Plants put out a new album called New Mind Solidarity, which will also be coming out on cassette through Aqua Blanca soon. Boris Kids Collective released their new album Galileo Grandois. It came out on April 25th on cassette, minidisc, and CD. Select formats are still available on their Bandcamp. And Carter 95 is back with a reissue on his floppy label disc Strudelsoft. It's his old EP Into the Goblin Forest from 2017. For compilations, first we had Hot Takes, who put together a compilation to raise money to benefit children in Gaza. It features 28 tracks from friends and guests of the show, including a new track by My Project Trucks Passing Trucks, plus tons of bonus content from fans and members of their Discord if you download it. It came out April 8th and has artwork by Lunitas. Celadon Plaza put out their 2-year anniversary compilation, with all proceeds going to the Prevent Cancer Foundation. Business Casual put out Anniversary 11, celebrating another year of releases from the iconic label. And on the net label front, Sunset Grid released some new albums by MIDI Soft Deluxe, All Right Babes, Compact Presario, The Videotech, Paradise Corp, and Delore. One of the folks behind Sunset Grid, Blue Screen, also released a new album called Musique Ancienne on May 1st. Bogus Collective released a bunch of new albums from artists like K Nova, Minish Doll, Anti-Inverse, Midnight Premiere, Dystopian Exoplanet, UV.exe, No NRG, Neon Tiger, Bento Boy, Ezra, and more. Photoshop Co. has released new albums, including stuff from Ezola Mile, Sleeping Charmander, Pocket Monster, Microsoft Executive, Cute Aesthetics, Polymono, Secret, and more. My Pet Flamingo released some new stuff recently. 1-800's Missed Connections, curated by Groove Remote, came out, and Pleasure, a new album by Mac LaCrosse. Shatterfoil Industry reissued stuff from Thetamax, June Lalonde, and Atlas Cries, which is a side project of Enrail. Geometric Lullaby put out a spate of Barber Beat reissues and some new Dream Punk by Scott Lawler and Ambient Music by Lua 2. No Problema Tapes put out many reissues as usual, including stuff from Desert Sands Feels Warm at Night, Majestic 12, Abyssio, and Solemn Oath. They also put out an album from Gendema called Sassy Things on April 26th, which is apparently like doing really well on streaming services and YouTube. And they also put out an album called Kent 1956 from Kagoshima Tangerine. Gorgeous Lights released a new Barber Beats bundle of 3 albums in May: Hong Kong Express, HKtopia, Recreational Colts, self-titled, and Sky Too High, Midnight Metropolis Romance. Pure Life Tapes put out a new album called Intrusion Countermeasures Electronics by Phasma on May 3rd. Qingdao Market, the satirical parody label, put out a box set of Cat System Corp albums reimagined as knockoff bootlegs. They got great attention to detail and aesthetics, even if the wobbly music isn't your cup of tea. They also put out some RuneScape Wave parodies as well. City Man Productions has an open pre-order for an album we talked about in our main topic of the last episode, Building a Better World by Cat System Corp and Telepath. It's a special edition Sega box set like they've done for all the other Cat Corp albums. The label will also be having a big sale soon as Tony closes it down later this year. Really unfortunate to hear about. Underwater Computing released a bundle of 3 albums for the spring by the artists Pyroglyphics, an unpronounceable conglomeration of letters and Unicode symbols, and the artist 911 Jasp Telecom, which is a collaboration. Business Casual had 4 releases in April: Allegria with their album Horizons, Venus Death Trap with the album No More Tears, Skiware with the album New for 92, and Otto's new album Neuro, which was mentioned earlier. They also released the 11-year anniversary compilation and a deluxe edition of Late Arcane's Extravagance, which we reviewed last year on episode 11. My label Pacific Plaza put out 2 releases over the last month and a half, including a reissue of The Midnight by Alias 404, and in May we put out the new Vapor Breaks album New Position by Luxury Noise. Cassettes are still available for both releases. If you have upcoming releases to send to us for coverage, head over to vaporwavenewsnetwork.com/submissions and use the upcoming release submission form. Okay, and like I said earlier, I'm actually going to skip doing a main topic today, and I'm going to go right on to a history section. It's kind of funny because last episode, our main topic was basically all history, and I skipped the history section. So, works out nicely. For our Vaporwave History segment this month, we're revisiting a seminal 2012 album that was the apotheosis of artistic, critical, philosophical interpretations of early Vaporwave. Redefining the Workplace by Internet Club came out on April 21st, 2012, and was the follow-up to their album Webinar, which was released the year prior in October 2011. It's an album of hazy and warped samples that touches on many musical and thematic elements that would make up the cornerstone of Vaporwave and its future subgenres. The album was a curiosity at the time it was released, and was name-checked in Adam Harper's notorious article, Vaporwave and the Pop Art of the Virtual Plaza. In a recent interview, Robin Burnett, the person behind Inner Club and many other aliases, said, quote, "I was making the peak of my very concrete, situationist and Marxist plunderphonics phase." While Harper also connected Vaporwave to social critique of corporate culture and the infamous "all that solid melts into air" quote from Marx, Burnett mentions in an interview from the Dummy Mag article that they are trying to achieve, quote, "the defamiliarization of things we've become so used to that we don't notice them anymore," unquote. Or, in other words, recontextualizing something familiar by presenting it in unfamiliar or strange ways. This again comes up later in Harper's article when Vectroid says, quote, "I wanted to take that familiarity and recontextualize it so it was just slightly out of place," unquote. While people have used Vaporwave to make social or cultural critiques of a political nature, it's the bigger picture of taking signifiers from the past and reusing or recreating them in a new, unfamiliar way, which has given Vaporwave a deep wellspring to draw from and continues to open new conceptual planes for creators in our scene. The hyper-real, digitally touched-up office building in the album's artwork is wholesale appropriated, with its awkward non-standard aspect ratio, at least for music album artwork, and pixelated just enough to hint at the false reality behind its glossy facade. The name of the album even came from a tagline at the Hall Office Park, the place which inspired the album and its spiritual predecessor Webinar. Non-standard artwork shapes and appropriating or remixing existing images has long been a hallmark of artistic productions in the Vaporwave scene, not only for album artwork, but for visual art, music videos, and live or live stream performances. Artistically, the album's been influential for its production techniques and how it uses sound to transport the listener to somewhere unsettling but familiar. The album is noted for its use of effects, which Robin said, quote, "I went absolutely bonkers in Ableton and just fucked with the effects to a revolting level," unquote, specifically naming the Ableton Crystal Reverb as a big part of the album and the album's predecessor Webinar. This contrasts to Farside Virtual and the glitchy releases Internet Club have been experimenting with in the early days. As Sunbleach pointed out in a 2017 review, quote, "Burnett utilizes a wall of sound production style that forsakes brick walling for the kind of enveloping ambiance that accompanies New Age music playing in a waiting room," unquote. This sort of production would be emulated in Slushwave, and the wild experimentation with effects would influence many future producers and experimentalists in the genre. This long-form conceptual work is a landmark, and although parts of it can be challenging for listeners, the album paved the way for new modes of artistry and music production in the burgeoning vaporwave scene. And even on the critical side of things, redefined the emerging genre as writers and cultural critics struggled to parse this unique form of art appropriation and cultural recontextualization. You can listen to the album on Internet Club's Bandcamp page on the Vapor Memory YouTube channel. There's also a great interview by Nick Caceres that I cited, as well as the original Adam Harper article, which I discussed in episode 6 of the podcast. Okay, I hope everyone's enjoyed this week's episode of the Vaporwave News Network. Thank you to our supporters in the associate producer tier, Mackie and Joe B. Remember, you can sign up to support the show for $5 or $10 a month. You can also sign up on our website to get our email newsletter every time a new episode of the podcast or feature article drops. In addition to posting on our website, we also have an Instagram, Blue Sky, TikTok, and Twitter where we post highlight graphics and videos with the releases and history mentioned in each episode. So make sure you give us a follow and repost the content. Please repost and comment on it. Reposting and commenting on stuff really helps spread the word to other people in the scene, and it helps drive that algorithm. You can find us on social media at VW News Network. If you would like to submit something to the show, check out vaporwavenewsnetwork.com/submissions to access our Google Forms for upcoming releases and events, Spotify content, and upcoming releases. If you want to get in contact with us, you can also do it through our email, vaporwavenewsnetwork@gmail.com. This podcast is sponsored by Pacific Plaza, but if you're a reputable label or collective looking to advertise or sponsor the show, please get in contact. I've been your host, Alex, aka Trucks Passing Trucks. If you want to find me or my label on social media, you can look up Pacific Plaza Rec. That's Pacific Plaza REC on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. I also have an Instagram page for my music and DJing shenanigans over at Trucks Passing Trucks, all one word. If you want to book me for any gigs or streams in 2024, get in contact with me. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you tune in to future episodes of the Vaporwave News Network. From our part of the vapor world, this is Alex, signing off until next time.
Vaporwave News Network.